Hi there folks, welcome back. Paul here again for another video, the second video in our new series on the book of James. And this is part two. We've been looking at James chapter one in the first video. If you missed it, please go back and grab it. But in the first video, we looked at the James of the Bible, James the Just. He was often called a man of faith, camel knees, because of the hardness and the callousing of his knees with the amount of time that he spent in prayer. And we've been reading through verse 1. Let me catch up very quickly. It's a quick summary. From verse 1, James, the bondservant of God, he chose to identify as a bondservant of God and of his Lord Jesus Christ, rather than as, hey, I'm James, half-brother of Jesus. No, he said, I am a servant. Writing to the 12 tribes of Israel dispersed. And this is to the Christian Jews, those who believed in the Christ. My brethren, he says, verse 2, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And that's where we got to, and we discussed how tests and trials are different from temptations, but testing brings about faith. At least that's God's purpose and desire for allowing them or bring them into our lives. Temptations, however, are completely different, for they lead to sin, which we will be covering as we get further on into chapter 1. But now, our failures, summarizing the previous video, our failures so often come from our inability to wait from God. And let me recap that quick example of Genesis chapter 16, where Abraham, given this beautiful promise, Abraham and Sarah, these promises of God for a child. Yet he was impatient. He could not wait. He said, I'm not going to wait. I'm going to do it myself. And of course, he went to Hagar and Ishmael was born. Folks, it is simply this. If you want one, if you want to grow in faith, you also need to understand that faith and waiting, they come hand in hand. Patience is the product. And so we read now, continuing on, let patience have its perfect work that you may be complete and lacking nothing. Now, oh, for me, so many times I have been so incredibly impatient. I have not wanted to wait. I've wanted to push that button and get it now. And is this not, maybe I wonder why in the society that we have at the moment, so many people are unhappy and, you know, not content in their lives or in the world because they have no patience. Lacking nothing simply means this, to be complete and mature in your faith. All right, hear that. Write it down for me if you would. Take some notes. Lacking nothing means to be complete and mature in your faith. You're no longer like a child, you know, throwing a tantrum. Why, God? Why? Why did this happen? Why? Like a teenager. Oh, but I don't want to. But I this, but I that. Focusing, always looking at you. This is the exact opposite of Job's wife, of Job's friends. This is finding contentment and wanting for nothing. Imagine that. Now to get to that point though, and this is why we have, I believe, the next verse, verse 5. If any of you, remember I'm talking about you, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally, without reproach, it will be given to him. Lacking wisdom, it is directly tied to your faith in the trial. We need wisdom to have the faith and know, God, I know you've got this. I will do these things because I need to do them, and I'll use the example of getting a job. Can God just have an employer call you because a friend told them, hey, he's looking for a job and he's qualified? Yes, he can. But it is good for you in faith to hand out your resume and to apply for those jobs. Father, the faith comes in. Father, you are my provider, not these jobs. You are my provider. So I trust in you that indeed you will provide. Me handing out the resumes, that's not where it comes from. It comes from you. That is faith. And then there is wisdom which says, I will continue to do so. There is wisdom that says, I will gain greater knowledge in a particular field so I may do so. There is wisdom that says, I will get on my knees every morning in prayer and I will pray because I have faith that God is my provider. Now, how do we know? How do we know that God is our provider? We know it because it's in the Word. We know it because it's in Holy Scripture. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That is how we know. And then he gives liberally to all, liberally, without reproach, freely as needed, as you wait. Without reproach means he's not going to charge you for it. Some natural fathers, and I'm very blessed, my father was not like this, but some natural fathers, oh, come on, stupid boy. Don't be an idiot. Stop being silly. And it is hard for us as fathers. Me now, 50-something years old, but I can't expect a 13-year-old to behave in such manner. My life lessons, the discipline that I have learned, has grown over time, and it's the same in our walk with the Lord. For someone who is new, you cannot expect these things. They need to learn them. But if you've been walking in Christ now 5 years, yes, you should begin to know these things. This is important. And he writes in verse 6, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Oh, let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded. He is unstable in all his ways. And there's wisdom here. I mentioned, remember that from the first video? There is wisdom here for how we should walk, how we should talk, how we should be living our life in the Lord, walking in Christ. There's wisdom here. We must ask in faith and not doubt. Remember, faith and patience are tied together. And with that faith, it creates and develops patience. It's perfect work that we might be complete, mature in our faith, lacking nothing. And when we ask, we must do so without doubting. We cannot start, okay, Lord, praying for the job, and then 3 days later going, oh, but I haven't got a job yet. Why? I'm starting to worry. I'm starting in fear. I can't pay my bills. That's not faith. Faith is God is my provider. Even when you don't see that provision coming on that day, that week, that month, God is still your provider. That is a fact of Scripture. Faith says, I will trust this. And that then does not waver. There is no changing of mind. It's not like the flickering of the flame in the wind, which of course can blow it out. Our commitment to God must be complete in all things. We cannot ask, we cannot believe, yes, I'm praying for this, and then take it back. No. That's what Abraham did. Here are the promises. You're going to have a child. He didn't wait long enough. He took it into the matters into his own hands. We can't do that. This is the mindset of the bond servant, someone who has given their lives so fully to Christ that he is then everything. I've often said, we begin as believers. Let me wrap up with this. We begin as believers. Then as our faith increases and our commitment to Christ, we become followers. But we also know from Scripture that believers, not necessarily saved, even the demons believe, yet they tremble. We must believe that he is our Lord and our Savior. And then we become followers. Our commitment to him deepens. It grows. Our faith increases. But we still know from Scripture that many of his followers left him when the teachings became too difficult. And I think as a side note, this is one of the reasons why the teaching from so many in the modern church these days is weak and watered down. They don't want people to leave. Rather than delivering the full counsel of God, as Paul said, I've not withheld this from you. They deliver just the milk. But we need meat. We need meat. What I'm giving you now here, I hope, I believe, I pray, is meat for you. We need meat to be able to then move from being a follower to a disciple. Believers, followers, disciples. And what's the one thing that sets a disciple apart from a believer and a follower? A disciple makes disciples, but even then, we read in verse 1, James, identifying himself as a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh boy, this is the mindset of the bondservant. This is next level. It really is. But we count it all joy when we fall into various trials, because such trials give us opportunity to what? Come on. Have you got it yet? The trials give us opportunity to increase and grow in faith. That's why we count it all joy. Why? As it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith it is, do you know this one? It is impossible to please God. And I got to tell you now, folks, faith is it. It is by grace that we are saved. Through what? Through faith. Not of ourselves, not of works, but of God. It is our faith that enables it. We read through Hebrews chapter 11, that beautiful chapter on the hall of fame of what? Faith. Abraham, by faith it was accounted unto him as righteousness. We read from Scripture time and time and time again, to he who continues in the faith. It's even here in James, we'll come up with it shortly. He shall receive the crown of righteousness, of life, sorry. But we also see the crown of righteousness and other things when we walk, when we continue in the faith. This faith thing is vitally important to your salvation. Let's leave that as our final thought then for today. Faith is the bee's knees. It's everything. It's so, so important. And trials and testing brings about the perfection of our faith, that we might be complete and lacking nothing. Praise God for that. All right, guys, you have a wonderful week. I'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.